If you'll open your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians 9:15. As many of you know, I'm not a very thematic, I'm probably saying that wrong, preacher. I believe that God's Word is so rich and bountiful, themes aren't necessary. I think that we can open up God's Word anywhere and find something to rejoice over. But as we approach Thanksgiving Day, for many of us, it's a time of reflection, a time of celebration. Most Americans traditionally celebrate this day with friends and relatives, a big meal, and a day in front of the TV. But this morning I want to talk to you about a different type of Thanksgiving. A Thanksgiving that is much different than the one most Americans will celebrate on November 25th. But before we begin, let's pray and give thanks to God and ask Him to open up our hearts. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this passage this morning. And I thank You, Lord, for putting it on my heart to bring it to my brothers and sisters and to this congregation. I pray now that Your Spirit would walk amongst us, and if there be one here who knows not Christ, Lord, that You might draw them to Yourself. And I pray, Lord, that brothers and sisters in Christ would be edified, and You, Lord, would be glorified. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is the theme for our Thanksgiving message. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. As you can see, a biblical Thanksgiving really has nothing to do with turkey and ham dinners or football games or parades. It has nothing to do with pilgrims, cold, harsh winters, compassionate Indians. A biblical Thanksgiving is not just also a one-day event. It's a daily event. And the disciple of Christ should celebrate Thanksgiving, biblical Thanksgiving, 365 days a year. The gospel Thanksgiving I'm referring to is also one that most Americans are aware of, but they really can't celebrate it. Because as we learned this morning, most Americans are not plugged in to the right power source. The Apostle Paul gives us our proof verse in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. Here he writes, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." That's how we all were at one time before we became regenerated. But for those of us who have accepted God's indescribable gift, Thanksgiving should be celebrated every day. You see, the gift of Jesus Christ is such a universal and such a unique gift that it's appropriate. No, it's our duty and our privilege to celebrate and give thanks for His life, for His death, and for His resurrection. So no matter what the day, the month, or the season, Jesus should be the reason. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Colossians 1:17 reminds us, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Are you getting this, my beloved? Do you understand that as children of light, who are the recipients of this indescribable gift, our lives and thoughts should be in a constant state of thanksgiving? Mark 12:30 reminds us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This command means that every day is a Thanksgiving day for the believer. Every day should be a celebration of thanksgiving for what God has given us and for what He has not given us, and for what He has put into our life and what He's taken out of our life. Yes, celebrate Thanksgiving with your family and friends this November 25th. But when the food is put away, the games are over, and all your guests have left, let your Thanksgiving celebration continue. Open your mind and heart to God and give thanks for all the blessings you have in this indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. And doing this is very simple. Just open God's pantry and take from it anything that you need. For example, open Ephesians 1:3 and read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Oh, my beloved, have you tasted the sweetness of just two incredible words in that verse? Us and all. Do you understand that the word "us" means that every disciple of Christ may claim that text as their very own? Do you get that? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed Eric, who has blessed Josh and Tom and Frank and Sharon and Meredith with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Put your name in there. It's yours. And what about the next giant word that's in that verse? All. I love that word. It means everything. Without exception. It means there is not a blessing in heaven that belongs to Jesus Christ that doesn't belong to Arthur, to Grace, to Wink, to Frank. Not one. And I have a proof verse for that. Romans 8:16-17. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." This verse is teaching us that the disciples of Jesus Christ positionally have every spiritual blessings that heaven can offer. And that includes forgiveness of sins. "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Colossians 2:13-14. That belongs to you, Frank Jr. That belongs to you, Meredith. How about the blessings of an intercessor? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is He who also intercedes for us. Romans 8:33-34. He's interceding for you, Eric and Karen, Jeff, Sally, Tom and Brian. He's interceding for all the saints. Let me ask you, how's that for a reason to be thankful and to celebrate? And if that's not enough, let me pile just a few more blessings on your plate this morning. Through Christ, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36:26-27 reminds us, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances." And the gravy that goes on all these blessings, that comes from this indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, is eternal life. John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I believe that's 1 John 5:12. What Thanksgiving dinner have any of us ever been to that had a first course that was that good? And the best part of all about this Thanksgiving, this dinner, is that you can eat all the spiritual food you want because there's no calories in it, there's no fat in it, and there's nothing harmful in it. Every word is packed with life-giving energy. God's word is pure, it's rich, and it's wholesome, and it's filled with all the necessary ingredients to help you grow and mature. Again, a proof verse. Jesus gives it to us. Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And just like food, once you've digested the word by applying it to your life, it turns into the building blocks of life. And again, our Lord Savior, Jesus, provides us our proof verse. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. John 6:48 and 51. You see, when we feed on any verse in Scripture, and we chew, and we meditate on it, we're nourishing, strengthening, and encouraging our soul. That's why it's so important to study your Bible. Take a bite, for example, out of the fruit of the Spirit. Taste the sweetness of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Chew on that for a while. Or savor the prime cut, of meat that comes from Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And don't walk by the delicious promise our Lord gives us in John 14, 2 and 3. My brother Mel has this up in his home. He eats from it every time he looks at it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let me ask you, how can any believer feed on these verses and really not be encouraged? How can any genuine Christian meditate on these words and not be overcome with joy and thanksgiving? The fact is, they can't. And I have a proof verse for that as well. Luke 24:32. Here two disciples tell us what they felt as the Lord spoke with them. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened up the scriptures to us? You can't come to God's word without feeding. You can't come to God's word without feeling overwhelmed with joy and rejoicing in your heart. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, your words, his words, should rejoice in your heart every time you read them. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, every day should be a feast day, a Thanksgiving day for you. Do you truly understand that, brothers and sisters? For a child of God, we have a Thanksgiving feast that's laid out for us every day. All we have to do is come to the table. And all we have to do is feed on his word. And the blessings that come from this feast are there. All you have to do is step out of the boat and apply those blessings to your lives every day. So let me ask you, are you just walking by that spiritual feast table every day? Or are you celebrating Thanksgiving every day? Have you obeyed the Lord who says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it? Psalm 81:10. Or are you making excuses for not eating from this table? Like those who were invited to the great supper in Luke 14, verse 16. A man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And the last one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. Are you letting the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, or the pleasures of life keep you from feasting at the king's table like these people did? If you are, beware. Luke gives us a dire warning at the end of this parable. He writes, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. That's a chilling warning to everyone who's invited to God's table and doesn't come or makes excuses for not being there. But if you, like Job, can say, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Then rejoice, for it pleases your Father in heaven to feed you and to nourish you and to care for you. All who come to Thanksgiving dinner at God's table will find more than just nourishment. There's more there than just food. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So you see, it's not just the food that's great. It's the divine company that you're in. Listen to what Jeremiah said about feasting on God's word. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how many of us, I wonder, are only eating the scraps of meat now and then simply because we won't take the time to sit down to the feast God has prepared for us in His Word? How many of you walk by this table of life every day without taking anything with you, simply because you allow the world and the things of the world to steal your joy and to strangle your life? I wonder how many people listening to this message are so spiritually malnourished that they're walking skeletons spiritually. These Christians must look to God like Holocaust victims, and that must trouble deeply His Spirit, because He has given so much and provided so much for all of His children. Is it any wonder then that the true church of Jesus Christ is so bulimic today? Is it any wonder that it has slipped from the revivals of the 18th and the 19th century to a point where it is now referred to as the Laodicean church, a lukewarm church? And I'm here to tell you this morning, all of this is a result of people not eating the spiritual food that God has provided at His Thanksgiving table. And all this is the results of saints not taking the time, no, not making the time every day to feed themselves from God's table. I pray for many things. I pray for every soul in this church. But I pray most of all that the Spirit of God would come forth from heaven like a violent rushing wind and fill the church of Jesus Christ with the power and the authority that it once had. I pray that the little revival that's broken out here in the Northfield Church would spread like a holy fire into the surrounding communities and beyond, even the border, even to the borders of California, if God is willing. And I pray that all of you listening to this message on this Thanksgiving Eve would come to the table of life that God has prepared for you to nourish yourself in God's Word every single day. If you do, God has a sweet promise for you. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of the man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And I'm going to close this morning by walking you by what I call God's dessert table. His dessert table. Here we find the sweets from heaven. King David writes of this table, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Psalm 109, verse 103. Let's go first to comfort pie. In Isaiah 43, 2 and 3, we see this incredible comfort pie that God has prepared for us. Isaiah writes, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Let me tell you, take a slice of this home with you and savor each word. And when the trials and tribulations of life come knocking on your door, taste that pie. Go to Isaiah. When you feel yourself drowning in the problems of life, take a small bite of Isaiah 23 or 43 or Psalm 23 and chew on that for a while. Trust in the spiritual food to get you through the night, and it will. You see, God made this comfort pie to help you get through the long, dark hours of life, of which we all go through many, many, many hours. And I want you to look just under the crust of this pie. There are different kinds of fruit that can comfort and nourish your soul. Taste the comfort that comes from Hebrews 13:5. "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Then close your eyes and enjoy the texture of that fruit that promises, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. And finally, if you'd like a topping on this pie, I recommend Jeremiah 31:3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love and have drawn you with loving kindness." He knew each and every one of us before the worlds were formed, before there was a thing called time. An everlasting love, that's the topping I like on my pie. But if pie isn't your thing, then I invite you to try a small piece of the delicious, heavenly faith cake. I suggest taking only a small piece, because the energy that comes from eating a small sliver of this cake is beyond your wildest imagination. And if you think that's an overstatement, listen to what our Lord told His disciples. And He's telling us in Matthew 17:20. "For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you." Of course, our Lord was using a metaphor, But the power the God-man is referring to is very real. Everyone listening to this message has probably at one point or time in their life seen God move mountains in the lives of people, perhaps even in themselves. And God's children who have made it a habit to eat this wonderful cake have not only moved mountains, they've been blessed beyond measure. An example, our brother Job, he loved this cake, and he proved it when he lost his children, when he lost his business, and when he lost his health. By the end of Job 2, this saint's life was reduced to living in a dump, picking at his sores. But you see, Job, throughout his life, had eaten a lot of God's faith cake. And how do we know that? We have a proof verse for it. We know it because when he received the news that all of his children had died, Job 1:20-22 tells us what he did. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then I love this last little part. The narration says, "Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." And there's more. "And when he had heard that his business was stolen out from underneath him, and he felt the hot pain of Satan's boils, this suffering soul never uttered a word until his wife told him to curse God and die." And here's what he told her. "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And again, "In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Job 2:10. Here's the proof that our brother Job had eaten many slices from the cake of faith. That man knew his way around God's table, and he knew it well. And it was this that enabled him to deal with anything that man would do to him and anything that even the prince of darkness could do to him. And let me ask you, Christian, have you eaten enough from God's table to withstand a frontal assault from even the prince of darkness? Have you even filled yourself with enough food from God's table to withstand the pressures of everyday life? Or do you struggle to get by each day because you're spiritually anemic? Well, if you want to live that way, I suppose that's between you and God. But if you want to see what it means to have victory in Christ, then turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and read what happened to people who dared to feast at God's table. God thought the cake of faith was so important that he dedicated a whole chapter to it. The writer testifies to us, "And what more shall I say, for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women receiving back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world is not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground." Hebrews 1:32-38. You see, that's the kind of energy one gets when one eats from God's Thanksgiving table and takes a small sliver of faith cake. That's the kind of strength one can exercise by tasting God's delicacies. And that's what eating from God's table every day will do for you and you and you and you. But perhaps there's one here this morning who's never sat at God's Thanksgiving table. They haven't tasted the manna from heaven, but their mouth is watering because they've smelled it and they've heard just how good it is. If that's you, see me after the service or call me and I'll show you in God's Word how He's calling you to that table, how He wants you to be saved, how He wants you to feast on all the blessings that He has provided for His children. And for my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, I discern that some of you are not eating properly. I know some of you are not eating properly. You're not coming to God's table and filling yourself with the spiritual food that's packed into His Word. Why is that, my beloved? Why? Have the things of the world killed your spiritual appetite? Have you allowed your job, money, hobbies, stress, or any other temporal thing on this planet to keep you away from God's table, from His bounty? Let me ask you, how do you expect to keep your light shining in a dark, sin-filled world if you don't refuel your batteries from God's Word every day? The answer is, you can't. If you don't eat, you're either going to go through this life at best as a carnal Christian, or at worst, you'll apostatize from the faith. I have a proof verse for that too. 2 Timothy 4:10. Paul writes to Timothy, "For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Here we see Demas. He was a believer. He was a worker. He was even someone who was working in God's kitchen as He was preparing this meal, this Thanksgiving. And yet, because he only watched and never sampled or applied God's Word to his heart, Paul says he left, deserted him, apostatized, and went to Thessalonica. Let me ask you, are you doing the same thing, my beloved? Are you coming to church, maybe to doctrines class, occasionally to Bible study, but you're not eating any of the life-giving food from God's table? Have you gone to Thessalonica with Demas? Thanksgiving week is here, and it's a good time for all of us to reflect on our lives and our commitments. Yes, we should celebrate and remember the pilgrims coming over, the harsh winter, the compassionate Indians. Yes, that's wonderful. But as believers, we should also reflect on what God did and what He gave, just so we could be saved from an eternal lake of fire. If you want to celebrate something this Thanksgiving, celebrate that. And celebrate it every day of your life. You see, if you eat from God's table and give thanks that in His grace He was even willing to call you to that table, that's what you should be thankful for this Thanksgiving Day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the bounty that You have given us. We lack nothing, Lord, except the will to do it. I pray, Lord, that every soul here would take from this message a small slice of faith cake. Or perhaps, Lord, a piece of the pie that You've prepared. Lord, I pray that You would work in all of our hearts
And help us, Lord, not to become spiritual skeletons, but to grow in grace by feeding ourselves. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.